This morning we're finishing our subject, and it's been like an interesting topic. We're talking about pain, and we're finishing it today. Yay! And so what we're going to do is we're going to start with video. We've got a really quick video I want to show of a girl named Melissa. And go ahead, guys. Let's launch into that. So as we do this topic of pain, we understand that pain is a common denominator for us all. And so we are going to finish this topic, and if we get a chance, if you remember, I went through this pain continuum, and what it does is it gives us a way in which we can actually biblically navigate from living in pain to walking in freedom. Jesus came to set us free. That's the Luke passage. Luke 4, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, and he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to set captives free, to open up the blind eyes, and also to release prisoners, and to proclaim the acceptable year, or the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus' first sermon was about freedom. Jesus' first sermon was to say, I have come. Why the anointing is on me is to set people free. And dear ones, Jesus is working diligently and faithfully to bring us into this place of freedom. Now, here's the common denominator is that we all know pain. In fact, the prophecy made about Jesus, well, the coming Messiah in Isaiah 58 was this, that he was going to be acquainted with sorrow and suffering. So as we saw in the video, I don't know if you caught, hopefully you're going to be able to put this together. Would she rather see? Of course she would. But even though she is blind, she has been able to work through the process where her blindness now is not her identification. Christ is. And also that her blindness, even though she would rather see, I believe, there is this idea of, but she is not limited. She still has a gift to give to people. How many of you, as you're watching her and saw her blindness, you leaned into her story? Because that's what happens when we share pain. That's what happens when we tell people our brokenness and how God is healing us. People identify with pain. They don't identify just with your successes. In fact, if you had no problems, if everything was perfect all the time, you would be boring. But the movies that we go to, the stories we read are what? About these people who have faced tremendous challenges and they overcome. That's what we lean into. Darren, are you able to get the pain continuum up? Are you able to do that for me? So as we're finishing up today, we're going to deal with this. We've been having trouble with our computer. There it is. So here's what we're going to go through today. We're going to get down to, you turn your back and look what happens. We've gone through cover, confession, embrace, guide, and then gift. We're just going to quickly review because it's been a while since we've talked about it. And then we're going to get to this point where our pain is a gift. So when we're in pain or when painful things happen, one of the first responses that we can go to is we could try to cover pain. We try to hide it. We try not to let people know about it. Imagine if you're like me, you know, just in physical, when you smash a finger or where you hurt your finger, your body immediately goes to protective mode. You know, how many times a kid have cut themselves and they put their finger in their mouth and they put it like this and they go, ow, they bring it in. What happens with pain is we try to cover. And here are some common ways in which we try to cover our pain. It's not the only way, but there are common ways that maybe you can identify of how you've tried to cover pain. And the first way is you can try to blame other people. Well, you did this to me. You did that. The government did this to me. We start blaming other people for the predicament we're in. And when we blame, we're not actually moving forward. We're just living in this prisoner called blame. We can also rationalize or excuse it away. Where we rationalize the pain or just say, oh, it's so long ago. It happened so far ago. And even that person who hurt me, they're dead and gone. I don't have any contact with them anymore. And so we rationalize or excuse away pain instead of actually dealing with it. And we rationalize. And I can't tell you how many times people have sat in my office and I begin to have them tell their story to me. And as they begin to tell as they were a child, some pain they went into, and they begin to cry and they begin to weep. And I go, oh, what's going on? Oh, I don't know why I'm crying. It happened so long ago. Time does not heal all wounds. That's a misnomer. Christ heals all wounds. It might take time, but it only time when we are activating what God has given us to heal wounds. We can ignore the pain, just put it in the back of our mind, let it go. A counselor friend of mine has said that the only pain God cannot heal is the pain that does not exist. Where if we don't, we just ignore it, we compartmentalize it, put it back. That God doesn't want us to compartmentalize or put it back. He wants to actually bring it forward to bring healing in our pain. And also, one of the things that we do as Christians is we spiritualize pain. Where someone has a tragedy and someone, and we go this verse, oh, God works all things together for good. And it's like, you know what? God's word was never meant to try to cover over pain. God's word was never meant to just try to dismiss it. Jesus jumps into the pain with people, but his word has come to heal pain, not to spiritualize it and cover it to the point where we're not actually dealing with anything. And so quickly, some evidence is that we are, common evidence is that we're covering our pain is that we live in shame or regret. Grace sets us free from all shame and all regret. If you look back in your life and there's some shame, I wish I hadn't done that, or regret about a decision you did, then you are still covering pain. Because God, in Christ, there is no shame and there are no regrets. Someone say amen to that. That's what grace is about. We can also cover it with unhealthy anger, where the anger is not appropriate to the situation, where little Johnny doesn't take out the garbage and you ground him for 300 years because he didn't take out the garbage, right? It's like, he just forgot to take out the garbage. Yeah, but he always forgets to take out the garbage. You're grounded. Okay, that is unhealthy anger. And when you have anger that is beyond the event, you're covering something. There's also unforgiveness. I just can't forgive that person. And then it creates this tension, because Jesus really tells us in Matthew chapter 6, as if you don't forgive the offenses, sins against you, your heavenly Father can't forgive you your sins. And is God being mean? No. He's recognizing, as long as we hold on to unforgiveness, we are the ones who are in prison, not the other people. That really ticked me off when I came to that conclusion. I had some people who deeply offended me when I was young, when I was a younger Christian, and they went on with their life like nothing happened, and I am just like, I'm grousing. Every time I saw them, I was ticked off at them, and they went on like nothing happened. Well, who's the prisoner? And we can talk. Dia did a great thing on forgiveness. Dia, would you? She's right here. If you need to have someone talk about forget, teach it, she's the person. She did a great job on that. Feelings of rejection, feelings of fear. Here's another one, passivity, where you don't deal with things. Okay, I had this happen to me a couple weeks ago. Okay, Deb and I had some construction done in our house. And it had our new roof put on, and some of the tilings fell off. And when we got back from our trip, and now don't hate me, don't judge me, but here's what happened. Deb goes, you need to call the guy to get the roof fixed. And I went, I don't want to. Passivity, right? I don't even know why. It's no big deal. But something in my heart says, I don't want to make that call. So what did I do? We're going to get to it in a moment. I confess that to some brothers and say, hey, pray for me. Because all of us have areas of our life where, hey, I just don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to let someone else do it. I don't want to deal with that. Well, maybe it's because there's something that you're covering that God wants to bring healing to your life. And so you're dealing with it by not dealing with anything. Isolation is another thing. If you're covering pain, you withdraw, depression. I get it. man, you want to isolate sometimes, especially those of you who are not extroverts, but introverts, you need that time just to recover. But if you find yourself with no energy to be around people, there's something you could possibly be covering. And if you're always blue and consistently just down, is there something that's being covered? Keeping secrets that are not healthy. Don't tell your dad. Don't tell your brother. Don't tell your mom. It's the elephant in the living room, keeping secrets. And here's the last one. We'll move on. Escaping through binging on things. Right now, Netflix, you can watch a whole show. You don't have to wait next week. And you're so tired. All I want to do, man, is turn on Netflix and just do this. Mindlessly watch the same thing for 15 hours, right? Or how many ladies and gentlemen have you said this? It's been a hard week. I need some chocolate. Okay, no bad deal having chocolate. But if what we use to escape the problem, that is not a good escape. Only Jesus is the answer to the problem. So food network, shopping, I mean, all this kind of stuff. I just don't want to deal with stuff. We can't escape. God wants us to bring healing, wants to bring healing to this. That's the Luke 4 scripture, freedom. So, second thing. Darren, are you able to get the second one up of the pain continuum? That was pretty good. You see, I timed it pretty well. Thank you very much. Thank you. So what does God call us to do? Confession. Confession basically means this, to say the same thing as, or to publicly declare to others. So confession goes two ways. First, to God. If you read the Psalms, what you see are the writers confessing their frustration. You see the writers confessing to God their anger. And if you really read the Psalms, you're going to find some really non-loving expressions that people are sharing. But when you confess to God, what you're saying is, here is my heart. Here it is. I'm telling you exactly what's going on. And what I love about our Father is that he doesn't desire for you to mince words, to kind of pretend and be all spiritual. God says, give it to me raw. I'm okay with that. And the second thing, so first of all, our confession is to God. Our second thing is confession to each other. James 5 tells us, confess your faults to each other that you may be healed. Not saved, not forgiven, that you may be healed. And so what God desires in the body of Christ is a community of people who are not afraid to share where they are struggling with someone else so that other person can help bring healing in the process. So that could be a leader, that could be a friend, that could be a counselor, that could be someone that you have a trust relationship with that you can share. I am really struggling with this area. I'm tired of covering it, but I'm going to confess this because scripture says if I confess it here, I am going to be healed here. We don't need to carry pain for long seasons of time. We don't. God has given us biblical ways in which we can see healing. Next one is this. So after confession comes embrace. To embrace the pain means this. It's not like, man, I'm holding on to this pain forever, and boy, it keeps me warm in the winter. That's not what I'm talking about. Embrace means this, that you own your responsibility in the situation. As long as we're pointing fingers here, we're not accepting responsibility here. As long as it's someone out there, then I am not embracing what I need to do to bring healing. Again, we are not accountable for that person's choice. We are accountable for our choice. That if I've got pain, whether that person responds well or not is not the issue. The issue is that God wants me to say, what do you want to do in my life to bring healing to this? And if that's confession to that person, if that's forgiving that person, if that's having a talk with that person, or if it's just God doing a work in my heart, we are taking responsibility for our own stuff. You see, when you're in pain that's not being healed, the other part of this is that you don't look out toward other people. When you're in pain, you look inward. But when God sets you free, then you can again create this tension where Jesus said, as I have loved you, love each other. When we are set free from the pain, we're able to look beyond ourselves and see other people. But you got to embrace it. You got to say, God, what are you wanting to do in my life? God, what are you trying to do in me? So my story, I did, by the way, call the guy. Yay. Yay me. But the question was passivity. Mike, what is it within you? It's not this person. It's not the other person. It's what's in with me, God, that you're wanting to bring forward so that I can walk in greater freedom. Okay. The next is guide. So we've gone from cover to confess, to embrace, to guide. I like the little picture of the guy. He's pointing the right direction. A guide, when we become a guide, we have reached the place where we see outside of ourselves. And we can help other people understand what God is doing in their lives. My brother, I've told you this story many times. My brother Denny and his wife Jody, their son Cody, at the age of 2, was diagnosed with cancer inside the brain stem of the brain. It wasn't a tumor. It was tumors all wrapped around the brain stem. So there was no way they could operate, no way they could do anything to get rid of it except chemotherapy. So from age 2, and my nephew died at age 13, for 11 years, my brother and his wife and we as a family and friends were on this journey of he's getting better. God's answering prayer. He had a turn for the worse. And it affected work. It affected relationships. It affected what they could or couldn't do. It affected some good ways. They got to experience some things through donations of people to go do family trips. In other ways, they couldn't work because of the health. And it was this up and down roller coaster journey of God is doing something. Well, we don't know if he is. And I mean, just every emotion. Then at age 13, Cody passed away. So what does my brother and my sister-in-law do? Would they love to have their child back? Definitely. But one of the things that they did was they worked for God to bring healing in their lives. And then they go to their church and they said, we would like to offer a class for parents who are struggling with sickness for their children. They became a guide for other people in their pain to help them navigate pain. To this day, this happened a number of years ago. My nephew, I think, would be about 29, 30 right now. So this happened 17 years ago or so. But to this day, my sister-in-law gets phone calls saying, my son was just diagnosed. My daughter was just diagnosed. Can we meet? Absolutely. And you know what I discovered with people who've been in pain, who God is healing? I've yet to find one person who has 7 steps of this and 14 ways to do that and three secrets to do this. What I've discovered with people who have gone through pain, who are helping other people with pain, they listen. They identify. And they really help them. Dear ones, God doesn't waste anything. God does not waste anything in your life, but he allows your pain to be healed so that you can be a healing to someone else. Let me give you a verse. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 1. If you'll go there in your Bibles, 1 Timothy chapter 1. We looked at this before. This is all review, and then we're going to get to gift. That's our final thought. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, Timothy is the pastor of the church of Ephesus at this time, a great church, right? And Paul is writing to Timothy because he's a young man and he kind of fell out of his depth. And so Paul is given some instruction on how to lead the church. And he writes in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, he says, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. How many believe that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, right? That's why he came. Yes and amen. Then Paul pauses and he says this, of whom I am the worst. Now it's interesting, if you read verses 9 through 11, previously, Paul says this about what the law does to expose people. And he says, He goes, here's what the law is for. He says, we know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for lawbreakers, for rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy, irreligious, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, for adulterers and perverts, for slave traders and liars and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine that conforms to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which he entrusted to me. So Paul says, here's this list of people, right? That we would all look and say, you killed your father? You killed your mother? You're a pervert? You're a man. You need God. But Paul says this. He goes, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the worst. He just leapfrogged the whole pile of murderers and killers and parent killers and perverts and all this. And he says, I'm the worst. And I just named you a bunch of people that you would think is the worst. I'm the worst. Here's the point. Peter says, if you break one part of the law, you break all the law. That, dear ones, we are all the worst. That's the whole point. It's not that you compare your sin. Well, you killed someone. Well, you told a lie. Well, the consequences may be different, but the reality of it, sin kills. And Paul wanted to make sure that this statement is integrated into the life of the church, that Christ Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I'm the worst. And this isn't hyperbole. This isn't where Paul's going, well, we know it's not true, but I'll go ahead and say it. Paul said, my sin was the worst, but he said, here's the reason why. Here's the reason. He told him the story. He said this, but for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience and as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Here's again the point. There are going to be people who come into the kingdom of God that would never know Paul, that would never know Timothy should they pass on, but he wanted something established in the church. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I'm the worst. What does he want us to do? Tell our story of grace. Tell how God saved us by grace. Tell people, let them know that you didn't have this silver spoon life, that we all come from sin. We all come from brokenness. And Paul says this should be a common practice in the church, that we share our testimony of God's unlimited patience and God's mercy. On Wednesday nights, we've been doing this. Hasn't it been fantastic? Wednesday nights, we've been sharing story. I think we've had about 18 so far. We do about two a night. It's a safe place, so I'm not going to tell you any of the stories, and I'm not going to tell you any of the people. But there was a person, not going to tell you who they are. They're not here today. If they were, I wouldn't tell you anyways who they are. It's a safe place. But one of the reasons why they would not come to church is because every Christian who comes to church, their perception was their life is perfect. And hers really wasn't. So she started coming on some Wednesday nights, and people started sharing their story of brokenness and how God brought healing. Of pain and how God brought healing. Well, guess what happened? 3 weeks ago, after hearing the stories, one of the folks in the group led her to Christ into salvation. I think that's worthy of this. Right? Because as she heard, this is Paul. This is a guide. This is showing someone the way to go. Because as she heard the brokenness and how God brought healing, she began to believe God is real, and she confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. And then last week, she shared her testimony. And it was raw. And it was beautiful. And some ladies gathered around her and began to prophesy her future. Some ladies gathered around her and just put hands on her. And it was like, it was the church loving people and doing what Paul said. For those who are coming into the faith, they need to hear the story, because we are a guide to the reality of God's unlimited patience and his mercy. But if they don't know our story, all they see when they come into the church is people raising their hands, giving money, saying amen at the right time, but they got to hear the story. Because I know you guys well enough. You are not perfect. You're close. And I am not perfect. And you know what, dear ones? 2 Corinthians 3:2, Paul says that your life is a written epistle read by all men. Your life. Don't throw away some chapters. Don't, your chapter of pain might be the very thing someone needs to hear to say, you can show me how God works. If we are covering our pain, we're not sharing our pain. If we're covering it, if there's shame, regret, I just don't feel comfortable. Okay, let God bring healing through confession, but understand your story is important to bringing people to Christ. Even the ugly part. How many's got some ugly parts in your story? Come on. How many's got some stuff where it's just like, bleh. Right? Here's the beauty of God. And here's what the church's heart should be. If someone comes and said, if you really knew my story, you wouldn't love me. No, just the opposite. Because God, in my story, loved you, loved me. And though maybe I'm not a murderer, and maybe I'm not a kill parents, maybe I'm not a pervert, maybe I'm all this kind of stuff, but I am the worst. So that God can show his mercy through my life. And my story might be different than yours. We're not comparing who had the worst sin. That's not the point. The point is we all have story to share with people that we might be a guide toward God. And here's our last part. It's a gift. Again, my brother and his wife, would they like to have Cody back? Yeah. That's not even a question. They loved it. They would not have for anything chosen to go through the pain they went through. There's no way they would have said, I sign up for that. But in their journey, they went through this pain, and now their pain is a gift to somebody else. Now they can be trusted. I read one pastor who said, I don't trust anybody who doesn't have any scars. Show me your scars. Show me where you've gone through pain. Show me how you've walked through pain. That's the person I trust. The person whose life is always perfect, I go, okay, but that's not reality. So it's a gift. Look at me, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and then we're going to be done. Verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us all in our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. Man, when you've gone through stuff, you're a lot slower to judge people. Man, when you've gone through stuff, you don't just give them a quick answer. When you go through stuff, you listen a lot more. When you go through stuff, you go beyond just what did you do to who you are. And Paul says, I've gone through some stuff. And now God has comforted me with the comfort I'm giving. I'm comforting you now. I can help you in comfort, because I've received comfort in my sufferings. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow, okay, verse 6. If we are distressed, if what you're going through causes distress, it is for your comfort and salvation. See how often it is you? See how it's more than just I went through and I'm in this and here I am? See how he's able to say a gift? I'm pointing it back to you. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm because we know that just as you share in our suffering, so also you share in our comfort. See how Paul's looking outside of himself? See how he's not just looking at his own navel, what he's gone through? It's about you. God has done something to me. Why? So that I can be a gift to you. Verse 8, we do not want you to be uninformed, brother. So now he's confessing. He doesn't want to keep it a secret. He's not hiding anything. We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Paul thought it's done. It's over. But he goes this, indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor God granted us in any answers to the prayer of many. See, now Paul's going, man, I got beat. I got tortured. This life is awful. I didn't think it was going to be about this. I don't understand what God is doing. It's not about him now. Now he understands as he's going through this stuff, God is bringing healing. He's asking people, pray for me. He's confession. I need your help. I need you to be a partner with me. And I believe that God is going to grant us favor. But as you pray for me, so Paul is incorporating his friends. Come, pray for me. Be a part of this with me. We don't want you to be uninformed what's going on. I'm telling you plainly, this is what's happening. And as he does, he says to them, I got great confidence. The God who comforts me, he'll comfort you. And if I'm a help of that, what a privilege. Let me ask you honestly, eye to eye, face to face, who do you share your pain with? And I'm not talking about sharing your pain where you just blame other people. I'm talking about this confession to bring healing so that you and I can be wounded healers to other people. I sat in a room. There were seven of us in this house. It's actually a flat, a third story flat. All of us were committed Christians. All of us loved God. All of us faithfully served the Lord. All of us volunteered or served. Everyone there was serving, and they were really committed to Christ. And as they went through this pain continuum, as this started to unfold, everyone started to realize, wait a sec, there is still pain in my life I'm not free from. And as they begin to confess their story, and as they begin to share their story, there was this realization. One girl who came, she said, I don't even know why I'm here. I've got a great job. I got a great place to live. I've got great friends. I've got a great church. Everything is great. I don't know even why I'm here, until she began to share her life. And all of a sudden, she began to realize the dad who abandoned her at a very young age was still impacting her life today. She had no idea. She wasn't in denial. She wasn't like, she had no idea until she began to talk. And then she began to realize, and she began to cry and began to go like, she looked like a little girl, some beautiful African-American girl, 25. She looked like she was about 12 as she began to realize that the pain of her past had not been dealt with. By the end of the fourth day, she was a lioness. By the end of the fourth day, as God began healing, and we began to prophesy into her life. And here's what the Lord does. There were five dads that were in this group with her. Five dads who said, you know what? We would love to have you as our daughter. Five dads who said, we believe in you and the Father believes in you. By the last day, man, she was like, get it. Let me at him. I'm ready to go. It was a beautiful thing. It was so beautiful. I was sitting there in that room and I thought, how many wonderful people come to church week after week after week. Beautiful people, love God, serve God, faithful to God. But we don't understand there's still pain that we're not free from yet. Father doesn't say, well, that's just the way it is. He gives us very practical steps that we can walk into Luke chapter 4. The reason why he came to be prisoners be freed. Right? That's his very first sermon. So am I looking at you, my friends? How free are we really? Can you share your pain or do you hide it? I don't want anybody to know. I don't trust anybody. I'm just not going to tell anybody this area of my life. I'm not going to talk to anybody about this. It's not none of their business. It's not, okay? If you can move on without that keep coming up, great. But if that keeps stumbling, then the Father's trying to get your attention. He doesn't shame you. He wants to free you. And that's, I think, the power we have as the church. One of the powers is that we can hear story, speak the encouragement of the Father, and we can bless people. If you found yourself in any of these shame, regret, if you find yourself blaming others, if you find yourself in how you cover up, don't just cover it up again. Explore it. If you find yourself with unhealthy anger, if you find yourself with your binge watching Netflix because you're just tired of people, and you do it all the time. If you find yourself, I need chocolate. If you find yourself, I can't forgive that person. Don't ignore it. God loves you enough. He's going to keep bringing it up because his goal for your life has already been explained. He wants you free. Our daughter and her husband, Jesse, Amy and Jesse, around August 1st, there's a baby coming into the world, right? I'm so proud of those two. I'm so proud of them. Moms, you understand the gift of children, but they don't come without pain. I'm just saying. And once again, I'll just add my little phrase. I am so thankful I'm a man. Only God can take pain and make it a gift. Only God can take our pain, heal us, and present it as a gift to somebody else. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads? Thank you. I went long today, but thank you for your patience. Really, really appreciate it. We're closing up this subject of pain. I've known folks that they stay busy just so that they don't have to deal with stuff. As long as I'm active, I don't have to think. They don't like quiet time. I'm not saying there's anything wrong about being busy. Please don't read anything that. Except if we use busyness to keep us from really thinking and allowing the Holy Spirit to explore. Jesus really has come to set us free. And the interesting thing about that is that he, as his body, we represent his body, that we very rarely can get freedom just by ourselves. That he puts people into our lives to help us walk into freedom. And maybe you say, Mike, but I've done that and I've been hurt. People have used that information and they've gossiped about me and people judged me. And if that's happened to you, I'm really sorry. Will you forgive us for that? Because the very doorway of healing has been slammed shut. And can I just ask you, Could you just have the courage one more time to start building relationships with people if you don't have them already, so that you don't have to hide or cover, but you know you can confess and people will love you still. And church, we have a world of people that are covering over pain. We have the greatest gift, the Holy Spirit, to bless and to bring healing. But many of them won't trust without someone saying, I get it. I understand pain. I understand loss. And I don't know what it's going to look like in your scenario. That's where Holy Spirit will trust. We'll trust Him to guide. But this morning, the invitation of the Lord is freedom. And not just for today, but continual freedom. Holy Spirit, I welcome you to explore. We sang this morning, I surrender. Explore those areas of our lives, God, that we might not even see or understand. We're not in denial. We just don't see it. But you do. We welcome you, Lord. As we sang the songs and we meant the words, we surrender. We'll even surrender our past. We'll surrender our pain. We even surrender those disappointments. And we invite you as we make space to come and to bring freedom for the captives and release of the prisoners. Holy Spirit, you know us better than we know ourselves. And it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. We want to walk in that liberty in greater, greater measure. So come, Holy Spirit. We know you're here right now. We know you're here every day. Explore our hearts as we just wait for just a moment in silence. Is there something that triggered? Is there something that I could never get there? Is there something, Lord, that says, no, not me. I don't want to deal with that. Give courage for each one, Lord, to be able to say, I'm not going to deny it. I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to allow you to work today. Stand with me, if you will. This is our identity as kids. This is who we are. We're free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. These steps are, for me, practical ways in which how we can navigate. Because I can tell you, you're free, but how do I walk and navigate that? For me, this is one of the most practical ways I've learned to navigate to that place of freedom. So continue to use that. Continue to walk through. If you find yourself passive, you don't want to deal with something. Okay, Lord, what are you doing to me? I'm going to embrace that. I'm going to deal with that. If you find yourself angry and you don't know why, I'm going to embrace it. What's going on? Find confession. Even tell someone, I'm really angry and I don't even know why. Okay, let's pray. Because this is practical ways in which we can walk in the liberty and the freedom of the Lord. Can you say yes and amen with me on that? I bless you today.